Take the scriptures and turn to 2 Samuel 8. 2 Samuel 8. And this evening we'll be reading the entire chapter, verses 1 through 18. 2 Samuel 8. Remember that David has been made king, the covenant God has made with him, the Lord has made with him. And that we come now to chapter 8, and we see some of the things that start that have happened because David, God has made David king. Starting in verse 1, this is the word of our God. Now after this, it came about that David defeated the Philistines and subdued them. And David took control of the chief city from the hand of the Philistines. He defeated Moab and measured them with the line, making them lie down on the ground. And he measured two lines to put to death and one line full to keep alive. And the Moabites became servants to David, bringing tribute. Then David defeated Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, as he went to restore his rule at the river, the Euphrates River. David captured from him 1,700 horsemen and 20,000 foot soldiers, and David hamstrung the chariot horses, but reserved enough of them for 100 chariots. When the Arameans of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David killed 22,000 Arameans. And David put garrisons among the Arameans of Damascus, and the Arameans became servants to David, bringing tribute. And the Lord helped David wherever he went. David took the shields of gold, which were carried by the servants of Hadadezer, and brought them to Jerusalem. From Betah and from Berothai, cities of Hadadezer, King David took a very large amount of bronze. Now when Toi, king of Hamath, heard that David had defeated all the army of Hadadezer, Toi sent Joram, his son, to King David to greet him and bless him, because he had fought against Hadadezer and defeated him. For Hadadezer had been at war with Toi, and Joram brought with him articles of silver, of gold, and of bronze. King David also dedicated these to the Lord, with the silver and the gold that he had dedicated from all the nations which he had subdued, from Aram and Moab and the sons of Ammon and the Philistines and Amalek, and from the spoil of Hadadezer, son of Rehob, king of Zobah. So David made a name for himself when he returned from killing 18,000 Arameans in the Valley of Salt. He put garrisons in Edom, and all Edom he put garrisons, and all the Edomites became servants to David, and the Lord helped David wherever he went. So David reigned over all Israel, and David administered justice and righteousness for all his people. Joab the son of Zeruiah was over the army, and Jehoshaphat the son of Ahilud was recorder. Zadok the son of Ahitub and Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar, were priests, and Seraiah was secretary. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and David's sons were chief ministers. And that is God's word. So what we have here is proof that God's kingdom did come on earth under David's kingship, and that 2 Samuel 7 has real fulfillment, and that the Lord is faithful. Here we have historical record of how Yahweh's kingdom was established under David, but this also reveals to us not just what was true then about God's kingdom, it describes what will always be true of God's kingdom when God's kingdom is present and when it comes in its final form. And so this is both history and telling us of the future, at least foreshadowing it. First we see in this chapter the conflict and consequences of the kingdom. We see this in verses 1 through 6 and verses 13 and 14, the two sections there that describe the defeat of the other nations, of the other kings. And the word we see there in those phrases, even in verses 9 and 10, five times we see the word to smite or strike down, or in our translations it might be defeated or something like that. We've heard a very quick report of David's victories here. And from the description, David's rule extends from the far south. It talks about Edom, from the far south, pretty kind of parallel to Egypt, all the way to the north up to the Euphrates River, which is a, from, you know, right where, if you remember Jacob, where he crossed over to come to Haran, to Laban. So he's in the far north all the way to the far south. And it's through these defeats of these enemies that the Lord fulfills his promise to David to deliver them and Israel from all their enemies. And it shows here that that has happened. Both verses 6 and verse 14, at the very end of those verses, literally it says, "And Yahweh delivered or saved David wherever he went." Instead of my translation that I read from says he helped David. Here, literally from the Hebrew, it says delivered or saved David wherever he went. And this corresponds to Christ's kingdom. The kingdom will come at the last because of Christ, David's seed. He imposes it over all objection, over all opposition, over all conquering. There will be conquerings of all his and our enemies. And that is Christ's kingdom. And then here we see the wealth and the homage of the kingdom in verses 7 through 12. We have all the spoils categorized, all those, it says gold, silver, and bronze, and other things categorized from defeating these enemies. And this is a forecast of the kingdom, what will be it will be like at the last. For all the wealth of nations will come to Yahweh, which we'll see in other places of Scripture, but Revelation 21 probably for us in the near future, Lord willing. And this King Toi, he hears of what has happened with Hadadezer, and he had been fighting with them, and David has defeated Hadadezer, and he wants to lay down everything before David. He's submitting to David. He wants nothing to do with the armies of the living God, whether he acknowledges that or just doesn't want to be hurt by King David, we don't know. But it doesn't show that Toi was brought into Israel, like the Gentiles are brought into Israel. But here it does give us a ray of hope for the future, the foreshadowing of the future, that those who submit to Christ, who submit to the King, and bow the knee and truly seek peace with Christ will be spared, just as Toi is spared here, that they won't be struck down. And then finally we have the ideal and order of the kingdom in the last four verses. It's a summary statement of basically 1 Samuel 15 all the way through to this chapter. And so in the outline, there's an outline of all the two books of Samuel. It's actually one book. And there's already two sections, and we're in this third section. This is the close of the third section that ends since 1 Samuel 15. And it basically describes David's rise to be king, even in the time of Saul and even after Saul has died. David's rise to be king. And so you have a summary statement, and that summary is given at each of the ends of the sections in the outline, if we were to outline Samuel. And here, what is ideal for us as God's people is to live like David. That we ought to be the ones who live lives in which we do what is just and right in every circumstance, as it says here. Verse 15, so David reigned over all Israel, and David administered justice and righteousness for all his people. Well, that's great. We're not under David, but we're under God. And we are called to live like that in some ways. We're not to administer justice and righteousness as best we can as non-civil magistrates in our homes and other places. But here he's calling us, if you are saved, here he says Yahweh saves wherever he goes with his spirit. He saves David. He spares those who submit to him and blesses them. And he calls those who have submitted and been saved and blessed to live holy and righteous lives for him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you're the God who delivers your people. We learned this morning that you deliver us from Satan, the accuser of the brethren, that he's been thrown down. That you deliver us even through disciplining us and bringing us and breaking us and bringing us to our end, like Jacob, and you caused him to cling to you as you touched his hip and it was dislocated. We thank you that you're the God who delivers us from our own sin and ourselves, even from this present world. And you bring us into your kingdom. And you bless us. And you spare us. And you call us here to follow your commandments. We'll learn that this evening again with Jesus and in the book of John, that we are to do your will. And so, Father, we ask that you would empower us and strengthen us by your Spirit to obey your commandments. You say in 1 John that if we love God, those who love God keep His commandments. And Lord, we know that we fail and we sin, and so we ask that You would make us to keep Your commandments, that we would be shown to love You, that we would love You, and we would love You in a great way to serve You. We thank You that You show Your kingdom through David, and that You show it even more clearly now through Christ. Father, we ask that You would be glorified in Your Son, that You would be glorified in His working and His ruling right now, and that You would build us up through that and comfort us and cause us to cling to You. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.